إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. It is now 11:34 and you were waiting for me, and I apologize, and I accept your apology also because I've been here since 10 o'clock. So you can accept mine and I'll accept yours, inshallah. This morning, inshallah, for these brief moments, we'd like to discuss the issue in this theme of the fiqh of family issues. We'd like to discuss one issue, which is an-nushuz. An-nushuz min az-zawj. Not an-nushuz min az-zawja. An-nushuz min az-zawj. Nushuz from the part of the husband. Because in many cases we hear in these talks and lectures and conferences and conventions and workshops and classes and khutbahs, nushuz or disobedience on the part of the woman. What we'd like to deal with this morning is a nushuz on the part of the husband. When is the man guilty of an-nushuz? Before we begin, inshallah, I think it's necessary to mention the meaning of an-nushuz. The meaning of an-nushuz from the Arabic language has at least two basic meanings. One, it means to rise up above something, and the other meaning is to be elevated over something. To be elevated over something, or to rise and be over something, on top of something. And for this reason, the women are implicitly addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book by addressing the men, if you fear any nushuz from them. If you fear any disobedience, as they translate it, from them, then you make those three steps, which is you admonish them from the book of Allah, and then the second step, if she doesn't come back to her senses, is to separate the bed, and the third step is to strike her lightly, and lightly is an understatement. The point is that the word nushuz here in terms of the woman is that she elevates herself, she places herself by either her statements or her actions above the man. So when we discuss, or when we want to discuss an nushuz on the part of the man, we have to look at it from a different angle, because the man is naturally over the woman. So what does it mean by the man being rising above the woman when he's already over the woman? And we have to look at this in light of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have a sulh. He wants us to have a sulh. He wants us to have healthy, wholesome, correct relationships with our husbands and our wives. He wants us to have a relationship, a marital relationship with our husbands and our wives, so that perhaps, and I think it would be better to say not perhaps, so that in fact we will have success in this life and will be a good example for the people who are around us, and that we will be successful in the next life. One of the ways to be successful in the next life is to have a successful, wholesome, healthy marriage in this life. الصلح or this reparation and correction is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants us to have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in His book, وَالصُلْحُ الْخَيْرِ الصُلْح خَيْرِ. This is better. It's better to have this. There's no way that a man and a woman are going to be married and they're not going to have problems. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. Every single human being that is married is going to have some type of problems, whether they're major or minor. And the best of people, he had a problem. The best of creation had a problem in his marriage with his wives, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so did Abu Bakr, who's the best of people and the best of creation after the prophets and messengers, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the last of them. Omar had problems, Uthman had problems, Ali had problems. All of them had problems in their marriages and their wives, not necessarily with those individuals, but the wives of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also had problems with their husbands. So the point is that there's no way we can get around it. And as we mentioned, some of them are going to be major and some of them are going to be minor. And the major problems are those problems. The major problems are those problems of which maybe some of those incompatible issues that we mentioned yesterday are the cause of them. Some of them might be. So the sulh, or the reparation and correction, the wholesomeness, the healthiness is also, is always better. It's better than separation. It's better than divorce. It's better for the children to have sulh. When you have sulh amongst yourself and your wife, it's better for the children. It's better for your children's children. It's better for the community. It's better for the ummah. So this morning, inshallah, we'd like to mention some of the things, some of the reasons, some of the causes, and how we can bring sulh, which is khair, how we can bring that restoration and reparation to repair the situation from the point of the nushuz of the husband. I think it would be appropriate to mention at the outset that separation of a man and his wife is something that is disliked in Islam, and that it is something that is disliked by Allah, and it is something that is disliked by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is one of the most beloved acts by Shaitan. Shaitan loves anything that Allah hates. Shaitan loves anything that Allah and His Messenger hates, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the things that he, na'udhu billahi minhu, we seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan and his junood and his troops and his crew and his army, one of the things that he loves the most, which is probably something that people are not aware of, because we think that Shaitan just loves shirk, or he loves kufr, or he loves bid'ah innovations. Shaitan loves divorce. He loves it. And even though we don't have an explicit text in the Quran, and an explicit text from the Sunnah of Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating that they dislike divorce, I'll say it again for those people who probably are still sleeping, like me, or half sleep. There is no explicit text, explicit, in the book of Allah, nor is there an explicit proof or delil, explicit, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hadith that Allah hates or dislikes divorce. There are only implicit narrations or narratives that Allah dislikes divorce, and that his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam likes or dislikes divorce on the part of both of them. Some of you might be wondering, how could he say this when we have the narration that is collected by Abu Dawood, that the English translation says the most hated or most disliked things out of what Allah has made halal is divorce. There's a narration that's like this in At-Tirmidhi also, and Allah knows best, and also collected by Imam Ahmed. This narration in all of its forms, with every single chain of each of those hadiths in all of its forms, are not authentic. Not one of them. Not one of them. But we know implicitly that divorce is something that is disliked by Allah, because if Shaitan loves it, if he uses it as one of his biggest tricks, then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes it. If we look in Surah Al-Baqarah, we'll see the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. But it was the shayateen who taught the people magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And that which was revealed in the city of Babel by way of what came down to those two, and Allah knows best if they were angels or two kings, human beings or whatever, and the scholars have some differences among themselves on what they actually were, meaning Harut and Marut. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. And the people didn't learn anything from them. They didn't teach anyone anything of that sihr until they told them, we are only a fitna, so don't disbelieve. مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. And that which they learned from the branch of sihr, from magic, and from the branches of magic, we have numerology, we have astrology, we have necromancy, we have the Ouija board, we have the crystal ball gazing, we have the tea leaf reading, we have the palm reading. All of these things are from our branches of as-sihr, or magic. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. That branch of magic that they learned from Harut and Marut was how to separate a man from his wife. This is what they learned from Harut and Marut, and this is one of the biggest tricks of Shaitan. So that means if you assist someone to be divorced from their wives without a valid Islamic reason, then you are a member of the Hizb of Shaitan. If you, male or female Muslim, have been an assistant or an aid and abettor to a man, or for a man to separate from his wife, or a woman to separate from her husband, then you should know that you are a registered card-carrying member of the army of Shaitan. You work for Shaitan. If you got on the phone and you whispered to a sister in her ear, or you told a brother something that's going to make him be estranged from his wife and her from her husband, then you should know that you are a member of the army of Shaitan. And we would say to you, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْكُمْ We seek refuge with Allah from you, because you are working with shaitan. And one of the proofs of this is the hadith that we find in the collection of Muslim from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Iblis yad'u arshahu 'ala al-ma'," that Iblis places his throne above water. That Iblis places his throne above water. And we should not go into detail without the statement of the scholars of the past on what that throne over the water means, or where that throne is. As one person about 10 or 11 years ago, I remember talking to one of the people of Da'wah, and he was telling me that a brother had done a research, and he came up with the conclusion that the throne of Shaitan is over what we call the Bermuda Triangle. It is over that body of water called the Bermuda Triangle. This is speculation. We can't say if it is, we can't say it's not, but we shouldn't delve into those areas deeply without a proof from the people of knowledge. So Shaitan, he places his throne over the water. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُ سَرَيَاهُ فَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْهُ مَنْزِلَةً أَعْظَمُهُمْ فِتْنَةً. Then he sends out his saraya. He sends out his troops. He sends out his dispatches. He sends out his army. He sends out his crew. Because he has a crew. Shaitan has a crew. Gangs have crews. He sends them out in the beginning of the day, or whatever time he sends them out, and Allah knows best, at the end of the night. And Allah knows best. And the ones that are closest to him, the ones that are closest to Iblis, as Shaitan, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْهُ وَجُنُودِهِ وَصَرَايَاهُ, the ones who are closest, the ones who are the closest to him in rank, أَعْظَمَهُمْ فِتْنَةً, the ones who can come with the greatest fitna, the ones who are able to perform the greatest acts of fitna are the ones who are the closest to Shaitan. So keep in mind, once again, we'd like to reiterate, if you are a person who whispers to a man or a woman something that will incite them to get a divorce from their husbands without, I emphasize by raising my voice, without an Islamic reason. We're not talking about people who suggest to a man that has been married to a woman for years, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and for all of those years that he's been married to her, he's been telling her, stop wearing lipstick outside. Stop wearing makeup outside. Stop going out of the house with your hair uncovered, or your neck uncovered, or your ears uncovered, and your shirt or your jilbab, if you have one on, showing your arms. He's been saying this for years. Stay out of the faces of the men. 10 years goes by. 15 years goes by. 20 years goes by. Stay out of the faces of the men. And of course there's conditions for her to be in the face of a man. She may go to the sheikh or the student of knowledge, lowering her gaze to ask for a fatwa or ask for some explanation of something. There's some conditions where it's allowed from the Quran and the Sunnah. But in general, if she has a bad behavior, and for years he's been trying to correct her, being gentle and kind in his correction, and someone says to you, "Akhi, it's too much. This is just too much. 25 years you've been talking to your wife about this." That person is not considered part of the army of Shaitan. Or the woman who comes to you and tells you, after you've been being patient with your husband and he himself has a problem with high telephone bills, calling 1-900-LOVE-MAN, 1-900-LOVE-WOMAN, or he's always in a woman's face, or he smokes cigarettes, 10, 15 years goes by and you tell your husband to get rid of this filthy, pungent, repugnant habit that is haram, not makruh, haram. Stop shaving your beard. 20 years goes by, you've been married to this man, he keeps shaving his beard. So the sister calls you and says, look, you know, you've been patient all these years. He listens to all these lectures. He reads all these books. That woman who's telling you, I think it's time for you to go. He keeps beating you, breaking your arm, breaking your jaw. This might sound extreme, but it happens. That woman who tells you to get a divorce and tells you you shouldn't be patient anymore, she's not working for Shaitan. We're talking about those other people who work for Shaitan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَجِيهُ أَحَدُهُمْ فَيَقُولُ فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. So one of the people who works for Shaitan, and that might be a jinn that we can't see, or it might be a human being that we can't see. فَيَجِيهُ أَحَدُهُمْ فَيَقُولُ فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. So one of them will come, one of the people, jinn or human beings, he may come back after Shaitan, if we sent him out, and he'll say, I did this and I did that. Shaitan will say to him, مَا صَنَعْتَ شَيْئًا. You haven't done anything. Get out of here. You know, like we say, you know, just step off. Get out of here. You didn't do anything. That wasn't any big thing. What did you do? That's all you did? Get out of here. You know, you really be close to me? You gotta do something better than that. So that one will go away. But then another one will come, and he will say, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ. I didn't leave that person, that man, حَتَّى فَرَّقْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ امْرَأَتِهِ. I didn't leave him until I caused him to separate himself from his wife. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Shaitan fayudnihi. And then the narration, fayudnihi fayu'aniquhu. He gets close to him, and another narration, he hugs him. Shaitan hugs him, whether he's a jinn or he's a human being. And he says to him, ni'ma anta. Ni'ma anta. Meaning, ni'ma al-fi'lata allati fa'alta. You've done a good thing. The thing that you've done is an excellent thing. What did he do? تفريق بين المرء وزوجه. He separated a man from his wife. So in the outset of this particular discussion of the nushuz from the man, the disobedience from the man, we need to know that anyone who assists anyone to separate from his wife, that he is working with Shaitan, or she is working with a Shaitan. Now, as for examples of nushuz from the man, there are many. Nushuz from the man, and this should be understood, that there's a difference between nushuz and al-i'rad, which we'll come to. Nushuz and al-i'rad, which is mentioned in the ayah that we'll bring later, inshallah. Some of the scholars of Islam, they say that nushuz is an action from the man, a statement or an action from the man that is more general and comprehensive than al-i'rad. Nushuz is when the man displays a behavior towards his wife that causes her to become estranged from him, and it shows some extreme dislike for his wife. either by way of him hurting her mentally, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, or physically. For those of you who are writing down, we'll say it again. It is an action or behavior on the part of the man where he harms his wife or he hurts his wife, either physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, or otherwise. It is also an action that might include him staying away from her sexually. And this, brothers, is something that if the man does this without a valid reason from the Sharia, that woman can seek to have an annulment or seek a divorce. If he does it without a valid reason. Once again, an-nushuz is different from al-i'rab, of which, as we mentioned, we're going to give the ayah that explains this. There's other of the ulama, there are others from among the ulama who say that nushuz is from the man and the woman, and it includes every single act of misconduct and every single act of misbehavior. It's every single act of misconduct and every single act of misbehavior on the part of the man and the woman. As for al-i'rad on the part of the man is the man shunning his wife and avoiding his wife with his face, or avoiding his wife with his person, meaning his body, or avoiding his wife with his wealth. Not necessarily if he's not spending on her, but avoiding his wife with his wealth might also mean that he's not allowing her to spend. And we know that the best dollar that a man can spend is not in jihad. The best dollar that a man can spend is not for the people who are going out to give dawah. The best dollar that a man can spend is that which he spends on his wife. That is the best dollar. There is no dollar that a man can spend better than that which he spends on his wife. To buy her food, to feed her, to buy her clothes, to clothe her, to buy her the things that she needs. Even the things that she doesn't need, that she or he might just want her to have, like for instance a bracelet, or a necklace, or an ankle bracelet that is permissible, of course, if she covers it. These things are the best things that a man can do for his wife, which is to spend his wealth upon her. Also, al-i'rad means that he'll sit with her, but he'll sit with her in silence. So it might be he doesn't sit with her, and it might be that he sits with her, but he doesn't say anything to her. She comes in the house, or he comes in the house, and he just sits there for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours goes by, he doesn't say anything. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. That's it. Nothing else. This is al-i'rad. This is al-i'rad. And this is something that will require some type of sulh, some type of reparation. Also, nushuz, which is the general term for the both of them, is exemplified from the man or performed by way of the man in these cases. Either he wrongfully places himself arrogantly above her, as we already know the man is above the woman, but in this case nushuz would be the man being arrogant over her. He places himself over her in an arrogant manner. I'll give an example, which maybe the men might not realize. And this can be used in general, but specifically I'm using it for the men now. Every time your wife comes with something to correct your behavior because you have a defect, your wife comes with something and says, you know, this is not correct. She says in a very nice manner, this is not correct. You shouldn't do this. You say to her, what's your dalil? What's your evidence? Don't come to me with that. What's your evidence? This is an example of the shoes on the part of the man because he's arrogantly placing himself above her. Why? It's because every time she brings him something, he asks for dalil. Now someone might say, well, wait a minute. We follow the aqidah and the manhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah. We're supposed to have dalil for everything. No. In this case, the man is placing himself over her arrogantly because he already knows the dalil. He's just becoming tyrannical with her. And Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, a person that asks for dalil all the time, imma mura'i wa imma mutakabbir. He says, either that person is a show-off, or either they're arrogant. The person that asks, where's your dalil?